You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. God bless you guys. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday. We're tuning into God's frequency here today. This is WGOD Radio, God's Always Broadcasting. Thank you, my friends out here and extended family. I consider you all family. Thank you for spending 30 minutes of your Thursday with me. Hopefully to brighten up your day. Hey, it's always a great day when we sit under and listen to the Word of God, because that's what because the Word is alive, right? It's living. It's active. It's sharp. So let's spend 30 minutes now. You and me both sit under the Word of God. I can sit and hear it as well. I've convicted myself many times, listen to myself preach. Now, this sermon is from a year or so ago. This is part two of this message entitled Judge Not. We've been going through this Sermon on the Mount here on some odd days here on WGOD. We have a few different programs going. Book of Revelation, verse by verse. We'll be back tomorrow with that. We're in chapter 10 here coming up tomorrow. We'll pick that up right here on the radio. Here now, this is the second part of this message, Judge Not. islandcommunitychurch.net is our go-to place. That's our website. This Sunday, my sermon is The Fullness of the Gentiles. I believe we're coming perilously close to these last seats in the kingdom being filled. As we read in the Bible, blindness in part has happened to Israel until, now the NIV here says, the old NIV, it says, until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. I'd say come into the fold, full number, meaning there's a maximum capacity sign over the kingdom. And someday soon, that number is going to be hit. That's my sermon this Sunday morning. You are invited. Love to see you. Here we go. This is part two of this message now from the Sermon on the Mount.
I'm trying to convey his attitude to us here today. And that is the way, the gate, the way to get into eternal life and see the face of God. It's a lot more constricted than what people realize. Hence the word oh there and the exclamation point. It's not as easy as you think. Oh. See, this is a skinny road. It's a skinny, narrow gate. And the way itself, you see, is confined. The way itself is confined. Oh, how narrow is the gate, he warns. Oh, how narrow is the gate, he declares. The Lord Jesus says himself that on the road that leads to heaven, there's only one way. John 14:6, he says, I am that way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You see, there's a narrow way to get in here. This is an exclusive club. There's only one way to get in. He also said in John chapter 10, verse 9, he said, I am the door. Not a door, I am the door. There's only one way to get in, and that is through him. And that's why he is emphatic like he is. That's why that little word, oh, is there. He's being emphatic, too, that it's not like you think you can't do it, like these Pharisees tried to do it by keeping rules. The only way is to admit you're a Savior and come in through the Son. That's the only way. That's the only way. It's through the Son. Next up, be on the lookout for false prophets. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. All right, they're disguised, you see. That's why they're so dangerous. They are disguised as somebody good. Otherwise, you wouldn't be deceived by them. They trick people. They deceive people into thinking. That's what we read in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. Behold, I saw someone with two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. When you peel back the layers here. So beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Or can you get broccoli from a peach tree, is what he's trying to say. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. So you will recognize the false prophet by their fruit. That is what they speak, preach, teach, and believe about Jesus Christ. How do you identify a false prophet? These things right here. Do they preach that the Son of God is the only way? Do they preach salvation through God's only Son? Do they preach that he's returning again to judge the quick and the dead? Do they preach on the blood of Jesus Christ? Do they preach that the Lord Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Do they preach that he was born of a virgin? Those are the things. By their fruits you will know them. It's always about him. Always. And that's how you'll identify these people when they make it something other than him. Be it his mother, be it someone else, another leader, whoever. It's all about him. There is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. There's the message of the gospel. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified, preached on among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Anything else is from the evil one. So he says, you'll know them by their fruits, and the fruit is always the Jesus tree. What do you believe and teach about him? Always. By their fruits you'll know them. Verse 21, I never knew you. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, or not everyone who says to me, hey, Lord, it's me, Pastor Paul. Or not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, hey, Lord, it's me, it's Dwayne. It's me. Hey, Lord, it's me, Allison. It's me, Rick. You see, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But, all right, here comes the requirement, you see. He's going to give it to you right here in the next verse. Catch whatever follows the but. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, all right, now he says it twice right here. He says, not everyone who says to me, and now he says, many will say to me. So there's a whole lot of people who expect to gain entry into the kingdom of heaven, and Jesus is saying here, not everyone who expects to get into heaven is going to get into heaven. Let's say that again. This is why he says, oh, how narrow is the gate. Not everyone who expects to get into heaven is going to get into heaven. Back from the top again. Not everyone who says to me, Kyrios, Kyrios, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, that sure doesn't sound like a bunch of Presbyterians to me. And there's the rub. You see, those that are legit practice righteousness. Out of his own mouth, the opposite. You who practice lawlessness will never see the inside of the kingdom. Therefore, logically, the opposite's true. Those who practice righteousness, those that are chained to it, they're slaves to it. They're compelled to practice righteousness. That is, they wake up in the morning and they say out loud, what can I do here today? What can I do today to help turn this crooked, evil world right side up? While these others, Jesus says, practice lawlessness. Or as the King James reads, he calls them, ye workers of iniquity. Verse 22, once again, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? It don't sound like any Methodist that I know either. You see, these people thought that they were Christians because, number one, they were into prophecy. That is, they were prophesying. Standing up in, I guess, a church, fellowship, whatever you want to call it, out of his own mouth, not mine. I'm reading it to you. Have we not prophesied in your name? So, number one, they were prophesying. Number two, they had a deliverance ministry. Well, they were casting out demons out of people, which they thought was their ticket to get into heaven. Now, that's not, I'm just reading to you what he says. These people, because they were prophesying and casting demons out of people, they thought that they were Christians. And Jesus has a big surprise for them. You're not, he said, I never knew you. Casting demons out of people is not salvation. Number three, it says here, they were miracle workers. Miracle workers. Maybe the demons worked right alongside with them. Maybe you'd say, well, how could you cast a demon out of someone if you're not saved? Hey, there's the deception. I mean, that's what deceive means. It's to think that something is something. Well, something is something else. You think you're saved. You think you're saved because this demon just left this person, and you're not. He says, I never knew you. Never thought about that, but that could be the case. How do you cast demons out of people if you're not saved? Well, there's the deception. There's the deception. You put your faith and trust in that, and some demon leaving someone, and you thought that you were right, when in fact, according to the Lord Jesus, you weren't right. If you ever spot that manifesto in a church or a ministry, you better head for the hills. Well, here at our church, we specialize. I mean, you could read this as a statement of faith. In a quarter of a million churches in America, right there on the front page of the hymnal, you open it up. Well, we specialize here in prophesying, in a deliverance ministry, and in the working of miracles. Am I right? Trust me, I'm right. You don't want to go and find that out. Verse 22, once again. Now, verse 23. And the words that no one ever wants to hear. He says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. There'd be another song. Hit the road, Jack, and you won't be back. No more, no more, no more, and never again. So there's no more important question than this one that I need to ask right here now this morning. And that is, does the Lord Jesus Christ know you? And do you know him? That's the question here this morning. He lives inside of us Christians. Does the Lord know you? Do you know him? Is your name in the book? I love this verse that I cling to when I baptize people in this church. And I read this to everyone here. I read this to everyone there, and I read it to everyone here. And that is Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Why don't you guys turn there? Flip over a couple chapters here to chapter 10. Since this is perhaps one of the most greatest and fearful threats or words that we never want to hear, there's a simple understanding and explanation of this, to how to avoid this and how to make sure this never happens to you, how to make sure that you are not deceived, how to make sure that you're not deceived into thinking that you're something that you're not. It's not about casting demons out of anyone. It's this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. The Lord Jesus speaking, he says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, now catch this, him I will also confess. Whoever confesses me before men, that's what we do back here when we get baptized, right? I baptize a whole bunch of people here. What do we say? Whoever confesses me before men, him or her, I will confess before my Father, which is in heaven, and the angels. And that's what we do. We get up here. You see, baptism, in fact, it does save you. You go on down in this water. You stand up here and you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's my Lord, and he's my Savior, and I've received him. And that is how you ensure that this does not happen to you. He's not talking to you. Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And that is how you can be certain you'll never, never hear those words from Jesus. If he's confessing your name, then he knows you. And he'll confess your name. He'll confess your name as you confess his. Easy solution, right? I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's my Lord. And I bow the knee to him. And I call him Lord, Son of God Almighty. And he's my Lord. Simple as that. It's not how much money you put in the plate. It's not anything else other than believing in Jesus Christ and receiving him. It's as simple as that. Okay. Let's see. It's 11:33. We could either go home early or I can keep you guys for another 7 minutes. Everyone good with 7 minutes? All right, Captain. Let's get back to chapter 7. Let's look at the last section then, and we'll pick it up in verse 24. He says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. All right, now this is an easy, easy word picture for those of us that live in Florida. Whoever hears all that I've been telling you in this Sermon on the Mount, whoever hears all of these things that I've been telling you and does them, I will liken that person, man and woman alike, child and young adult, I will liken that person to a wise master builder who built their house upon the rock. Verse 25, and the rains descended. It's funny, I was just saying to my wife, this is the last time it's rained in Florida. It was the last time this happened, right? That hurricane at Halloween. The rains descended. See, lots of people up in Perry, Florida, and other places, boy, I'd be getting a whole lot of amens if I preached this. If they had a church left up there for me to preach this in, The rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and it beat on that house and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. That's why I wanted to do that song this morning, A Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Church, what is your foundation built upon? What will happen to yours once the winds blow and the storms of life hit your foundation like a ton of bricks? For those who hear these sayings of mine and puts them into practice, you'll make it through the storm, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I, again, encourage you, trust in God when you're going through adversity. This is how you overcome this, right? James chapter 1, verse 2. Even, I bet you Siri even knows this. And that is, count it all joy when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance, what it takes to get through this kind of stuff. Now, as for the others, those who refuse to do all that the Lord has just said in these last three chapters, verse 26, everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, you see plenty of those houses. We see them on the news. Me and Carol drive by. We drive by things just waiting to happen, don't we? Hanging over a precipice, built on sand. And we know someday the day is coming, you see, where these winds and the rain's going to come, the storm's going to come, and the Lord says, great is its fall. And he uses that example for us. What is your foundation built on? Sand, or is it built on the solid rock of your faith in Jesus Christ? Like David had, he said, when I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. Do you have a foundation like that? That you trust God in the face of adversity, no matter what comes your way. Now, Pastor Darren in 2 weeks is going to be preaching on Job. He might talk about some of that. The rains descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. See, the Lord Jesus does not want you to suffer shipwreck. So, what then were the sayings again, so I can remember, or maybe write them down? Now, naturally, not doing them would be the opposite. The foolish man or woman that built on the sand. So, here's just five of them here. Hears these sayings of mine and does them. Number one, blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember, the poor in spirit recognize their need for a Savior. The opposite of that would be those who see no need. Those who see no need for a Savior. I'm fine just the way it is. I got here, I'm a self-made man. Oh, you certainly are. You indeed are a self-made man. Number two, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. The opposite would be those who hunger and thirst after unrighteousness. You get up out of bed and you can't wait to go out here and sow discord and do evil. Number three, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The opposite of a pure in heart would be a divided heart. The divided heart's built on the sand. The pure in heart will see God. Number four, you are the light of the world, and let that light shine before men. The opposite of that would be, what's the opposite of light? Right, darkness. Dark heart. Or how about this one? We didn't have time to look at this. The Lord Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no way enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, get this one right and you're good to go. How can you be more righteous than all of these legalists in the world today that go around trying to keep the law? Answer, by receiving his righteousness imputed into your account. That's how you do this. In response to your faith that we looked at before. He said, unless you're better than all of these guys that try to keep every rule, unless if you're better than them, you'll never see the inside of heaven. The only way to be better than them is to have him on the inside of you. He is righteous. Get that right. Receive his righteousness. And you'll never, ever hear the Son of God say to you on that day, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you. Know him and confess him, and he knows you, and your name is engraved on the palm of his hands. Let's pray. Lord, we exalt you in the house here today. Lord, forgive us for all the times we've fallen short. Starting right at verse 1 all the way to the end, this whole sermon here. Forgive us for passing judgment on people. Forgive us for not remembering that you borrow our measure to judge us. Help us, as you tell us, to judge with righteous judgment and to do everything in love because we seek the restoration of the person. Forgive us for these sins. This is why you died, to obliterate our sins. We pray your word back to you, that our sins and our lawless deeds you would remember no more. And I pray that that would include for all the unrighteous judgments that we've passed on others. Help us to remember this. Help us to have this as frontlets and dangling in front of our eyes to remember that mercy triumphs over judgment. Through Christ the Lord, we pray. Amen. 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 I leave you guys with this blessing here today. Next Sunday on the 22nd, my sermon is The Magi Meet the Messiah. We're going to look at these three wise men and how these guys knew to be looking for the Savior. There's a reason, there's an answer to that question. That's what we're going to look at Sunday, Christmas Eve, 5:30. Now to him who was able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior who alone is wise, to God our Savior who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And the church family said, amen. God bless everyone. Peace of Jesus Christ be with you this week.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. John's the author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Today's question is from Colossians 3:21. It's about raising children. The Apostle Paul writes, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children, that they may not lose heart." And in Ephesians 6:4, he says it this way, "Do not provoke your children to anger." But John, how do you think parents exasperate and provoke their children?
Oh, so many ways that you can exasperate your children. But just think about it in general, and you can probably come up with a list all on your own. Things like absence of love, never listening to your child, unfair discipline, abuse, harshness, unrealistic expectations, trying to live your own fantasies through your child, putting unfair pressure on the child to perform, trying to make your child into some kind of a star in athletics or music or academics so the light will shine brighter on you. There are endless ways of setting your child up for failure by these unrealistic expectations can be heartbreaking and crushing to a child.